everybody. Appreciate y'all coming out to church today. There's a lot of other places you could be, but there's no better place that you could be. And if you feel like that's not true, then you probably need a little help. But it's a good place to get help. So appreciate everybody being out here. We're still looking at the 23rd Psalm, and I know we've been going real slow and just easing through this thing and learning a lot of different truths. And I'm thankful for it. We've been in verse number 4 for I don't know months now. I guess. Lord willing, we'll wrap that up here in a few days anyway. But we're looking at verse number 4 of Psalm 23, and the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You know, ain't it good that every time we read that, it still says, "Thou art with me."
Yep.
It's present tense every time I read it. And I'm going to stop there just a second. I got to praying, Brother Kevin, and I asked the Lord. And sometimes you ever ask the Lord something before you even think about it?
Go ahead.
While you're praying? And Lord, I got to praying, and I said, "Lord, I don't need you to leave me this morning. I need your presence." And before I could even spit it out, they said, "I've already told you I never would." And I just said, "Thank you, Lord, for that. One more time. Every time. He'll never leave me, nor forsake me." And so with David, I can read this and I can say, "Thou art with me." And if you're a child of God, you can say the same. So I'm thankful for that. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so we've been dealing with this last phrase here, the affirmation that David finds in knowing that God's got everything under control and there's nothing for him to worry about. We've dealt with the rod in the last few weeks. We've been looking at this staff and just a few things that God's brought to my mind that staff would do. And one of the first things I said was that it could be used to prod the sheep with and just to coax them along just a little bit. Not to beat them with it. That's not what it's about. But when they get to a spot and he needs them to take one more step, he can nudge them with that thing and get one more step out of them. And I appreciate those times that I'm not willing to take that step, but he just gives me a little nudge and helps me right along. But then the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some things that the Lord wants us to prevent us from, and how he'll take that rod or that staff in his hand and it'll be used as an extension of his arm. And man, when we try to slip out of the way or just step the wrong direction, how he'll hold that thing out and bring us back in the direction that we need to be. And we've looked at several things about how God doesn't want us to be a stumbling block or a castaway or be moved. Last week we spent a lot of time on looking at another gospel. We don't want to do that. And how he's wanting to prevent us from falling and also from corruption. And so now, the next thing that God laid on my mind and on my heart as I was looking at all these different things was he wants us to prevent us from being exalted above measure. And 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, this is the Apostle Paul, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Thing about it is, you notice every one of us needs a level of exaltation. There's a level, Brother Kevin, that's healthy. That's why he said, "Lest we be exalted above measure." You see, we got to be real careful. I have a lot of issues. Emotionally, I guess, in my mind, if I'm not careful, I'll let myself get down real low. And Brother Kevin experiences this. We talk about these things. Brother Matt, I'm sure you experience that. And so we need each other to encourage each other.
Yes.
And I need the Lord and the Word of God to encourage me. And I need to be lifted back up and brought back up above that. We can get into a danger zone where we're not effective for the Lord because we end up in such a state of depression. But then on the other hand, there's, you know, I mean, so that's one ditch, right? But then there's another ditch. We can be exalted above measure. And we can come in and I'll just tell you, we're all also guilty of this one. If we come in here this morning and think, man, this church can't function without me.
Go ahead, brother. Tell it.
We walk into your job site and you say, this place can't get by without me.
Right.
Paul the apostle could have said, this church won't happen without me. Right? I mean, folks, if anybody had reason to be exalted, he did. He had the abundance of the revelations. But in order to prevent that from happening, the Lord allowed something in his life that hindered him in such a way that it kept him at a good operating level.
Right.
He said, Paul, I don't want you to get up above here. I don't want you to get below here. He said, I'm going to give you just what you need. Did Paul like it? He didn't like it. The Bible teaches us that he prayed how many times to get rid of it? He prayed three times. But I'm thankful that God answered him, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
He said, he told him, my grace is sufficient.
Hey.
I'm thankful for that. And man, whether we're real low down here and we're too far down, or whether we're real high up here and we get over exalted, I'm thankful that God's grace is sufficient. There's grace for either side of that.
Hey.
And what he does is he's capable and willing to just bring us right back into the road where we need to be. And I don't know what you need to keep you where you need to be. Most likely it's different than what I need to keep me where I need to be. And you may be wondering today, why can't I get past this in life? Why does this always happen? Why can't I get that next step in my career? I don't know. Paul's, it was a physical thing. Best we can tell, it says a thorn in the flesh. We think it was probably his eyes. But, Brother Jerry, it could be lots of different things that the Lord places in our lives to keep us from getting to a place that he doesn't want us to be. Up here. And so let's be careful questioning why God does things and just trust the Lord that he's doing what's right for you and I. Brother Jamie, sometimes he's probably placed some things in your life that's kept you where you need to be utilized for him. And that's just his preventative measures. Him sticking that staff out and saying, man, if I was to allow you to take one more step that way, you'd be in danger. But I know better, and I'm going to stop you. And you're not going that far. And so I'm thankful for that. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Hopefully the first two, well, hopefully this whole chapter is familiar, but the first two verses probably very familiar. But we usually stop about verse number 2.
Yeah,
but he goes on to say in verse number 3, he says, for I say through the grace given unto me, this is Paul speaking again, to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think,
right,
but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What Paul is trying to teach them here is that we are all given the same opportunity as far as that goes. As far as the faith goes, Rick, it's a level playing field. Call it that. He said, don't think you're more special. Brother Kevin, you got a different job than I got.
Sure.
But Joe, what you do is just as important as what I do. And he goes on to clarify that. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members one of another. We're part of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. What about giving being a gift? Ain't that a blessing? People don't even think about that, do they? He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Doesn't matter what area that you're called to serve in. What matters is that you keep the right attitude while you're doing it. And that you're kept in a place where God can use you. And Brother Adam, if we're not careful, every one of us can get above measure. Above what we start thinking a little more highly of ourselves.
Go ahead.
Y'all remember, the Bible still does say, take heed lest you fall.
Right.
You start thinking, I'm above that. You know what happens? Next thing you know, down you go. So we got to just be real careful, folks. And God's placed these scriptures in here for preventative measure.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I'm telling you, ahead of time, don't let this happen in your life. I'm here to help you. Pay attention to what I say, though. It's a dangerous place to be. You get exalted above measure.
Yeah.
So we'll move on from that. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
That's right.
After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world,
yep.
And not after Christ.
Hey.
And so what he's trying to prevent us from here is being spoiled. Now, we can go a lot of ways with that word spoiled, right? Some of us are spoiled brats, probably. I'm probably one of those. Well, I've had too much given to me. And I'm thankful for what God's given to me. But that's not what he's talking about. It says, lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy.
Yes.
I had to look up that word. I had a philosophy class in college, and I hated every minute of it. But if you look up that word philosophy, it basically means the love of wisdom. Now, you start pondering on that, and you think, well, if somebody's got a love of wisdom, and they're trying to use it in the right way, man, that's a good thing. James chapter 2 said, if any man lacks wisdom, right, let him ask.
Yes.
Hey, he giveth it freely, he upbraideth not, all those things. He giveth liberally, I think, Scripture says. But so what's wrong with philosophy?
Go ahead.
The problem is, what he's talking about here, it's not the fact that he loves the knowledge of God and wants to learn more about God and put that into practice. The problem is that these people are those that just love knowledge in order to love knowledge.
That's right. Yep.
They want to know more so that when they talk to you, they can let you know how much they know.
Right.
Have you ever talked to somebody that it don't matter what you say, they know more than you do about it?
Sure.
Don't be one of those.
Right.
The Bible still does say, study to be quiet.
Hey.
That's still a good thing. But there's a lot of people, there's still a lot of people that we talk to. Man, all they care about is how much knowledge they can get.
You're right.
But the problem with that is they never do anything with it.
Yep.
Other than talk about it. And so he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. He says, in vain deceit. That word vain means useless, empty, empty. So what he's talking about is these people that are teaching other people knowledge, wisdom, but all it's doing is really deceiving them.
Yes.
Into thinking that they know something, but it says it's deceit. So really, they think they know something. But if you don't know something about the right something, then you don't know nothing. In simple man's terms. And that's what it's talking about. You see, these people just, and if you know anything about this time period, man, they love philosophy. They were thinkers. They were smart people, Brother Cliff. I mean, they'd go sit out and stare. I mean, you start thinking about these people, they literally go out and stare into space for hours and just stare and study. That's how they found out about time and all these different things, seasons, and they look up and see these constellations. How'd they get that? I just looking up. They wanted to know. And I'm thankful for people that want to know. I'm thankful for a pastor that studies his Bible. But he's studying for the right reason. Brother, you don't study just to be studying, do you? He's got a purpose. And it goes on to explain this. He says, it's not after God. He says, it's after the tradition of men. It's all about us.
Yes.
It's all about our desires, what we care about. After the rudiments, that means the early teachings, the basic teachings of this world. Care more about this world and wisdom in this world. And then he says, and not after Christ. So if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves, once again, you got two ditches, right? There's people that study and study hard to be right in the middle of the road. 2 Timothy 2:15,
yes,
right? It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right.
It is my job, it is your job to study the Scriptures.
Hey.
The Bereans, I think, brother, you mentioned that just the other day. The Bereans, what did they do when somebody came in and taught? They compared it to the Scriptures daily. Seeing if those things were true, what was being taught. We're to study. But we can be on either side of that.
Yeah.
We can say, I don't need to study. I'll just let Brother Kevin teach me. And if you're not careful, you know where you'll end up. You'll end up following the wrong person.
Sure.
They'll lead you away. You'll be in the ditch, not knowing anything. But then there's independent Baptists. On the other hand, hey, I'm an independent Baptist.
Go ahead, me too.
But we get so caught up on the knowledge,
yep,
that we just go and go and go. And man, we're dispensational,
yep,
and we're premillennial and all those different things that we believe. And amen for it.
Yep.
I'm happy to believe my Bible.
Hey, Lord, me too.
But we can go so far as to we care more about the details than we care about Christ.
You're right.
What we got to remember is that all these details and this understanding that we can gain, if it doesn't edify Christ, then it's pointless. And what we're doing is just deceiving ourselves. And I've seen it personally in churches, in preachers. They knew so much. They cared more about the details than they cared about God moving and the Spirit being there.
You're right.
And the last time I checked, it takes Spirit and truth.
Thank God. That's
right. And they need to mesh and they both need to be at work. So truth's wonderful. I'm for it. Jesus said He was the truth. I'm for it. I'm for Him. And I'm for you going after Him. But don't go after the details about Him and miss Him. That's what we have to be so careful about. Make sure that our study is done in a way that goes after Christ. And I looked up that word spoiled. And so when you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is corrupt, right? If we have food that sits out for too long or in the refrigerator too long, we say it spoils, right? It goes bad. And I thought, well, that's right. That's what he's talking about. He could take something that's good and make it bad. It says to corrupt, to mar, to ruin, to destroy. But then I thought about also, it says to plunder or to rob. You ever thought, you know, the spoils of war, you've heard of that? Where somebody comes over and they take over, and what do? They take everything you got. See, if you're not careful, what will happen is these enemies, these people that come in and are teaching these things, what they'll do is they'll rob you of what's true and what's right. And they'll put you on a road that won't help you. We just got to be real careful as to what we're going after. Not be spoiled.
You're right.
I don't want anybody robbing me or robbing this church of the truth that God has brought to us and the spirit that we have here. And so I'm real thankful for that. And just to tie into that, Matthew 7:15, he says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So, when these people come, are they going to be easily distinguished? That's the scary part. Brother Jamie, I had a lady at work asking me some questions about, she wasn't in church. And she said, how do I know that the church that I'm going to is teaching me what's right? She said, I'm scared to death that I'm going to go to the wrong one. And I don't know if she's using that as a crutch to stay out of church, you know what I mean? Or if she was being sincere. She's a real young lady, still in college. And I was talking to her about the Lord, and that was one of the concerns that she had. Because she hadn't been raised in it. But she's interested. And I said, the bad part about that is you don't know enough about the Scripture to know when you're being taught right and what's wrong. So I said, what you need to do is do your best to search the Scriptures. And I said, the other thing you can do is find somebody that you have a lot of confidence in and follow them. Go where they go and search the Scriptures still and make sure it's right.
Yep.
And I said, here's what I know, and something that our pastor teaches us over and over here, is that if she will respond, I'm using her as an example, but if she will respond to the light that God's given her and she continues to go after that light, you know what will happen? God will continue to reveal her more light.
That's right. Amen.
And,
you
know, she was real concerned about that. But I just told her, I said, look, there's great comfort in knowing that if you're going after God, He's going after you.
Yes.
And you can just trust that and know that. And so what I was trying to tell her is that it's not always evident, these false teachers. They're coming in sheep's clothing. They come in, Brother Jerry, they sit on the front row, they look like me and you, and man, they put on a good show. But over time, what they're doing is trying to just get a little something in there.
Yes.
To twist things up. And you all know, we say this stuff, you can see it in our community. It don't take long. You get one in. One wrong person in.
Yep.
And what? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And it's a totally different place.
You're right.
The gospel's gone, the Bible's gone, the songs are gone, and a lot of times a lot of the good people's gone.
Yes.
And the church is nothing anymore compared to what it used to be. So what he said was beware. False prophet. I'm not trying to depress nobody.
No, that's good, bro.
But we got to be careful. That's why we've got such strict beliefs here. I mean, it's not that we're trying to make life hard on anybody. But we believe you ought to dress right. You ought to talk right. You ought to steer away from certain things. We ought not be out drinking alcohol. We ought not be partying. Why is that? Well, because we want to keep this place secure. We want it to be right. And I want it to be easy to depict those false people when they come in and try to change things.
Yes, sir.
And if we're not adhering to this book and we start living like the world, it makes it a whole lot easier for them to come in and blend in. So, let's be careful. Beware of false prophets. They just coming in bringing in false teachings. They look like us. And if we're not careful and comparing them to what the Scripture says, we'll start believing them. That's what he said, beware. He wouldn't have said it if we didn't need to beware of them. I know. I grew up here. I think that never happened here. It could happen in a heartbeat. God's protected this place. And we're thankful for it. But that could change over one bad decision. And so we got to be careful. So he said, beware of false prophets. And I'm almost done with these, okay?
That's good.
And we'll get on. But he said in Luke 12:15, says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And, well, I'm telling you, I don't like this one because it hits me. And if we're all honest, it probably hits every one of us at some point. That word covetousness, covet, it says is a strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good. Don't we look at things and think, man, that would be so good? But it says supposed. It's supposed. Do those things that we long for in this life, once we get them, have you ever noticed you get those things, man, I want this and I want this and I want it now. And I'm as bad as anybody. When I get my mind on something, we'll work to get it. But once you get it, what do you find? It usually does not bring you the joy you anticipated.
You're right.
That's because it's a supposed good. There's nothing in this life outside of Christ, Brother Joe, that can bring us the joy that we're looking for.
That's right.
Outside of Christ. I mean, he's the only one that can bring us that true joy. You remember, I don't know, it's probably been 6 months ago now, we talked about contentment. That was one of the first things we looked at in Psalm 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Ain't it interesting? One of the things he said to beware of was covetousness.
Yes.
Usually, it's in a bad sense. And applied to an inordinate desire of wealth. Typically, it has to do with our pocketbook.
Yep.
And I venture to say every one of us in here has made a decision in our life that has been based on bettering our pocketbook. I'm not saying that's wrong in every instance. But when he says beware of covetousness and part of your motive for doing what you're doing is for worldly wealth, better make sure that God's in it. And, man, I'm as guilty as anybody in here. We've got to be careful as Christians not to chase the dollar. And that's just the truth. Matthew 6:19, I think, probably is as clear as it gets. Over here. 6:19 down through verse 21. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then verse 21 makes it real clear. For where your treasure is,
that's right,
there will your heart be also. And so what I find in almost every instance, almost every example that you look at, when you see someone with a really strong desire for something in this world, it's usually real clear that their desire for the Lord is not probably where it ought to be.
You're right.
And I'm not trying, I promise, I'm not trying to hurt nobody, offend nobody. If you're wanting the biggest, nicest fishing boat, I don't know nothing about it. What I'm saying is, just be careful with our wants. God gives us things richly to enjoy. And I'm thankful for the blessings that we have. But we can't let the blessings have us.
Hey, that's
and
right.
And that's where we've got to be so careful. And it just seems like no matter where we get in life, I mean, I'll be 37, I think, this year. And it just seems, I keep thinking that as I get older, Brother Rick, that this stuff will, you know, those different desires will go away. And what I find is, you know, yeah, this desire probably does, but then there's something else that comes along. And I'm drawn to something else. And I guess that's Satan's way, and maybe just my natural flesh's desire, right? Of just incontentment. And all I know is that we're just strangers, we're pilgrims, and we're just passing through.
Yes, sir, buddy.
And we need to be seeking a city whose builder and maker is God.
Hey.
And probably not seeking so much down here. And I mean, I guess this is just as much a time of confession as anything, because I struggle with it too. And my wife will tell you, I mean, once I get something on my mind, man, it just kills me. It eats at me. And I'll tell you, I'm not the only one here that's like that. It might be a car for you. It might be a fishing pole. I know people that it's a rifle. Whatever, fishing boat, race car, four-wheeler, side-by-side.
Yep.
None of those things in themselves, John, there's nothing. Those objects don't sin. Right?
That's right.
I mean, left to their own, they don't do nothing wrong. They're just there. But it's the person that controls those things that we got to be careful about. And so we just need to be careful, folks, as to what our desires are. And just remember, when we have those desires, step back and think, is my desire for this thing taken away from my desire for the Lord? Am I spending more time thinking on this than I am thinking on Him? And if the answer is yes, that's probably right. Probably ought to say, Lord, I probably don't need this thing.
Right.
And I just ask, I pray, Lord, You'd forgive me and help me to control this. And you say, well, that's not easy. No, it's not easy. And we live in a country where getting things is real easy. You can go in debt up to your eyeballs if you want to and have pretty much whatever you want. But then I think of Romans 13, and he said, oh, no man anything but to love one another. I'm right, reminded of the new church, the New Testament church there, and it says that they had all things in common.
Yep.
They just brought what they had and said, it's y'all's.
Yep.
Boy, our society's not like that today, is it? It'd probably do us all good if our society was like, and you know, Brother Kevin, you was talking about some things that talking about the New Testament church and going back to those ways. You may be preaching on that. I don't know. That's one of those things, you know. And it's always convicting when you go back to the book of Acts.
Yes.
those first few chapters, and you read and you see the difference in the way that they were, and you compare that to the way that we are today, man, that's convicting. We need to move on. But I'm going to finish this up if that's okay. You give me just a couple minutes. All right, I want to get through this. Philippians 3:2, it says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And that word concision just means those people that were still trying to adhere to the circumcision, that old way, that old covenant. And, you know, I thought about dogs. Anytime I've ever seen a sign that said, beware of dog, you know what that stimulated in my mind? A little bit of fear. And what I recognized probably if I stepped foot in that area, if that sign was for real, that it was probably going to get bit.
Yep.
And so every time I read that phrase where it says, beware of dogs, that's all I think about, Adam. I think of, these dogs probably tear me up, and I don't want to go near them. And so beware of, he goes on and says, beware of evil workers. And so these are all people that instead of building things up, what do? They tear things apart. And so that's what we need to stay away from. Be careful. And lastly, 2 Peter 3:15. It says, an account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. As they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So what I want to say lastly, and this gets every one of us, especially you young ones, younger teenagers, college age, young adults, beware of the wrong crowd.
Amen.
If you're not careful, you put yourself with some people that are, Brother Kim, just doing the wrong things. And if you find yourself in those places, usually you don't bring them up. Usually they bring you down.
Yep.
And so he says, beware, beloved. He says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
Hey.
And one of the things that stands out to me in this passage here, it says, there in verse 16, it says, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now, y'all ain't probably familiar with that word rest too much. We don't use that a lot, but you are very familiar with the term wrestle, right? And so what that word means literally is to twist it up. And so if you're hanging with people that are unstable and they're unlearned, you know what will happen? Is they'll have some things that are twisted up. And if you hang out with them for too long, you know what they're going to do to you? Get you twisted up. And sadly, we just got to sometimes separate ourselves from that crowd.
Right.
Because inevitably, they'll drag you down. And so make sure you're with the wrong people. We don't want to be led away with the error of the wicked. So with that, we'll wrap it up for today. I appreciate the good attention. And we'll have prayer for anyone that wants to pray back there.